and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. President Biden is calling on Congress to prevent a nationwide railroad strike as early as next week. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The industry operates under a 20th century legal framework that allows for Congress to step in to avoid work stoppages. In this case, the president is calling on Congress to immediately adopt a measure imposing the terms of the tentative agreement struck by union leaders and railroad bosses in September. Workers in four of the 12 major railroad unions voted to reject that deal, saying it did not include enough sick time.
Airline passengers could be in for more delays and cancellations thanks to another round of bad weather. Meteorologist Craig Allen is with our affiliate, WCBS.
The area that is under the threat for severe thunderstorms producing long-track tornadoes today includes eastern sections of Texas, as well as the lower Mississippi River Valley. It goes right on through Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, extends on up into Tennessee and Arkansas.
A storm system could bring snow to Denver and Minneapolis. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner hopes test results will be in later this morning that show the tap water is safe to drink, bathe, and cook with again. But for now, people are still advised to boil it. KHOU-TV's Stephanie Whitfield says it's keeping kids home for a second day.
The boil water notice is disrupting school schedules again. HIC saying they made the decision to cancel school for a second day due to logistical challenges.
People who live on Hawaii's Big Island are still on high alert, with the world's largest volcano still spewing lava. Volcanologist Eric Clementi.
There is the potential for lava flow hazards if the eruption continues and lava flows can make it that far down the slopes of the volcano. There is also some hazard from ash.
It'll be a mix of politics and soccer at the World Cup today. The U.S. takes on Iran in a must-win match. Correspondent Roxana Sabiri is in Doha.
In a fiery news conference, several Iranian state media journalists hounded the U.S. soccer team's coach and 23-year-old captain Tyler Adams with questions about inflation, immigration, and racism.
While there's so much discrimination happening against black people in America.
You know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. We're continuing to make progress every single day.
Match times, 2 p.m. Eastern. Will Smith is speaking out about his infamous slap at the Oscars.
Oh, wow!
The actor tells The Daily Show's Trevor Noah.
It was a lot of things. It was the little boy that watched his father beat up his mother. It's, you know, all of that just bubbled up in that moment.
This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies today with isolated rain showers likely. Highs level off around 40. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Mixed precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 21. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock on this November 29th, 2022. We have your host, James J. Mayloff, here, and I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mel. How you doing over there in Abbotsford?
Oh, doing okay. How about you over there in Wisconsin Rapids?
Doing pretty good here. Doing pretty good. Waiting for that sun to rise up. That's what I'm waiting for. It's a nice day. It's good. Looking good. We are looking at some weather issues, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also got other things going on this morning, of course. Nothing but nonstop fun in this hour. We will get into our National Day of calendar. And we got some animal news. It's pretty exciting. Some good news with there we want to get into. It's also, of course, Giving Tuesday. We're going to talk about that. Got some top questions people are looking at into Giving Tuesday. Our favorite holiday smells, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
The number one way to look younger, we are going to dive into that. We're going to dive deep into that. No, we're going to research
deeper than skin.
We're going to research the heck out of that one. We're going to spend a good hour
on
that.
We're going to give you all the answers.
We're going to find every nook and cranny that we can.
Maybe not. Back up.
Hey-o.
Let's reverse on that.
Didn't think about that before I said it. Really, I need new writers. I'm firing two of my writers right now off of that line. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day. That ain't right stories. Plenty of fun there. We'll lead you into Morning Magazine, where in part one, we will welcome in our friends from the ADRC, Casey Newmuth. Newmuth is going to be with us. She is the caregiver support coordinator over there at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin.
Good.
And in part two, our good friends Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council, and Eric Brittenacher, Director of the Performing Arts Center, going to be with us to talk about Ted Vigil's Rocky Mountain Christmas. And Ted's going to join us.
Really?
Yeah, we get to talk to Ted Vigil today. I've done my homework on Ted. He's an interesting guy.
That's great. That'll be a good conversation.
It's always fun, and a big thank you to them for bringing in these guests. We love being able to have them on the air with us. Mm-hmm. A little bit later today on station here at WFHR, it's a ball night. We got Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Wake Forest. Going to be a good one right there. Tip-off will be at 7. And then a little bit later on our sister station at 7:06, Lincoln High School basketball, as they will be hosting Appleton West. Randy Paul on the call. Don going to run the board. You know it sounds good when those two work together. It's going to be a fun game. Great to have high school basketball on our radio stations, on our sister station, WIRI, and of course here at WFHR all season long. Yeah. Looking forward to all that. Get into the rest of our Morning Magazine schedule a little bit later. Mel, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. Same here.
That's good.
Pretty okay morning.
It's a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday, right? We're coasting. We're looking to get to the rest of the week here. So what a lot of us are doing. I wanted to go over a couple of things real quick with the audience. You know, we used to, when we did this, actually way back in the day, Carl and I and Bob and I, we did this show from 6 to 9 back in the day.
Oh, really?
And we always, and part of the reason we did that was so that we could cover school cancellations, school closings, those kind of things. You know, this is a little before everything was at the tips of your fingers on your phone or your laptop and everything.
Or you're getting texts from your school on a regular basis.
We had the morning show taken away from us for a while, and then I fought, like, I'll tell you, I can't even say the words, to get us an hour back. When that happened, and we eventually got our morning show completely back, the three-hour show, Marcus and I, and we were talking about it, and I was telling Marcus, well, we used to do 6 to 9. And he's like, why? And I tell him why. And he's like, okay, but you know you don't have to do that anymore. It's like, you're kind of right. I just assumed that we should go back to 6 to 9. But talking with him and really getting into it and talking with Pam, too, and Chuck, and just getting audience feedback, it just made sense to do what we're doing now, this block from 7 to 10. It's just not necessary for us to be here at 6 in the morning anymore. Even though people like Melissa and I are awake at 6 anyway.
Well, yeah, but we're doing other important things.
Very true, especially you. You know, we still have this, though, where we still want to cover this. So Melissa and I, I'm not saying that Seth or anybody else can't participate, but I just, you know, Melissa and I will be kind of spearheading this and taking it on the forefront, looking at it. Now, that doesn't, Mel, you kind of already doing that just kind of in general. You cover the news in the morning, so chances are you're probably going to come across school cancellations. And not putting that on you, just saying that, you know, if you incorporate it, makes sense. Mm-hmm. But with me, I am a junkie when it comes to the news. I still cover the news like it's only me here. And I go over, it's how I start my day. So I'm going to come across that information as well. So we'll still be hitting it. It just might be a little bit, you know, 7 in the morning. I don't know if it's going to be as beneficial to parents as it normally would be.
Right. Well, because they've already gotten notifications from their
right.
school.
By that point, you probably know.
Yep.
Right.
You've gotten an email. And if you signed up for the text messages, you got that, too.
But we still are going to touch on it and still make sure that we hit on it. And, of course, we have the best weather people in the business. And I genuinely mean that. The Weather Eye Weather Center people are incredibly good at what they do. Mm-hmm. They join us live every morning at 8. They may join us earlier on, you know, specific weather days, days that we know we're going to be hit over the head by Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're certainly going to cover it as best we can here. I can tell you, because our listenership just has reached just so many more aspects of this country, of this state. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover as much as we can here. Vilas County has got some winter storm warning going on. Oneida has a winter weather advisory. And Price also has a winter weather advisory going on. And that's the as far as you know, anything outstanding outliers going on weather-wise. That's what we're looking at right now. I did want to also mention something else. Had a great conversation with our owner, one of our owners, Mike Crute, yesterday. Mike and I had a great conversation. Always enjoy talking with Mike and catching up with him. We've got to make sure to Mike and I got to get to business. Otherwise, we're just going to ramble and probably, you know, either talk Badgers or something like that. And talk with Mike. Really happy with the numbers we're pulling in, and really, really enjoying our streaming numbers especially. But do want to spread the word. Civic Media, our stations, all of our stations, especially those of us longtime listeners here at WFHR, you got no excuse not to catch us anymore. We are streaming live and direct. Whoever you get us streaming, you can get us there. We strongly encourage you to download the Civic Media app. For what it's worth, it does not take much room on your phone as far as you know, bandwidth and memory and all that, which I personally don't like having too many apps on my phone, so I like that about it.
And it's very simple.
Yeah. I was just going to say that's exactly where I was going, Mel. It's so easy to go from, you know, from our station to another one if you want to listen to WIRI or a different station. If you listening to our commercial breaks and you hear like Kristen's show or a show that you don't normally get to hear, maybe it's a great way to pull up the podcasts and those kind of things.
Yep.
Cannot encourage you enough to not only spread the word about it, but, you know, strangers, I don't care. Going into your to somebody else in your office and just turn on their streaming, turn it on to us. We want our
that's not rude.
Not at all. I can't imagine that ending badly. Please don't do that. Don't listen to me. But do listen to me about downloading the Civic Media app and support us. You know, it goes a long way with our what we want to do around here. And, you know, you want us to do more original content. These kind of our streaming numbers are good. We're going to be able to do that. It all, you know, is kind of connected. So encourage people to do that. If you listen to us on the radio, that's wonderful. That's awesome. Maybe in the background have the streaming going. Maybe you can have it on mute. You can have it on mute. Just listen to us on the radio if that's what you want to do. I don't care how you do it. Just we appreciate those numbers being up, and we really, really cannot thank this audience enough. I was explaining to Mike, and I've talked to him about this before, and Sage and him and the people way up top here at Civic Media, they get it. Our audience has been through a lot in the last year. That's not to, of course, not put side to side what our staff has been through. But looking at the audience has been through a lot, and we have kept our core audience. We have kept our numbers, and man, that is rare, and we are very thankful for it. We want to show that appreciation by being able to do more local content, more local coverage. You know, you heard our election coverage. You hear that we're having more sports on the radio. We want to keep doing these things for you. We can do that when our numbers are up, and we're showing people that, hey, people are listening. People want this content.
Right. Exactly.
I want to get into some good stories of the day, and just a couple of them here. Just we're going to go bang, bang, bang with these. Don't need to go too in depth with them. But as always, I encourage you guys to not just read headlines, do your homework, and research these stories yourself. The first two come to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. In the final hours of a month-long search through rugged jungles swarming with mosquitoes, scientists confirmed the sighting of a bird that hasn't been seen in 140 years.
Wow.
A picture of the ground-dwelling black-naped pheasant pigeon was captured via camera trap and felt to the team like finding a unicorn, quote-unquote, finding a unicorn. Documented to science in 1882 and not seen since then, the black-naped pheasant pigeon is now almost certainly the most endangered bird in New Guinea and reinforces the need to conserve as much of its home of Ferguson Island off the east coast of the mainland. Hmm. With just hours remaining before their search was called off, expedition co-leader Jordan Bosserman was catching his breath on a hillside while looking through a camera trap phone. Suddenly, I was confronted with the image of what at the time felt like a mythical creature. he talked about it was, without exaggeration, the most surreal moment of my life. It cannot be expressed enough how rare it is to see this bird. As you heard us mention, it's been 140 years since they've seen this thing.
Nobody's alive.
That's Yeah, good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, nobody living has ever seen this bird in real life. The pictures, the documentation of it, the conservation that will come from this, it's really just amazing. And there may even be different species that we find through this.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that all morning this is all that's been on my mind, so I'm just going to get to it right away so we can get it out of the way. The Galapagos Islands are famous for their marine iguanas, their giant tortoises, and their seabirds, but they also host the world's most northerly dwelling penguin. Even though their populations have suffered greatly through the influx of invasive species like feral cats, a determined conservation effort is seeing their numbers rebound. No one quite knows why or how there are penguins on the Galapagos Islands. The working hypothesis, since they are closely related to Humboldt and the Menetic penguins from Africa, is that they caught an ocean current millions of years ago, which brought them somehow all the way around Cape Horn and up to the equator.
Wow.
Man, if I had a time machine...
Yeah,
I want to go back and see how that broke down, and I want to see the look on those penguins' faces.
Where did we end up?
Because penguins are very mellow animals and very casual, but they also can be stressed. And the Galapagos penguins, like their cousins from Africa, dwell in burrows under the ground, but with no soft soil or peat to dig them into, they have adapted to the use of openings of extinct lava tubes from when the island were formed. These were also prime shelter spots for introducing predators on the island, and so penguin expert biologist P.D. Bosman has been using light machinery to cut new burrows for the penguins into black rock of the other islands, where the burden of introduced predators is either less severe or non-extinct.
That's good, because obviously, predators are going to cause them problems.
Bosserman and her colleagues have dug a total of 120 of these sorts of nests as part of the conservation effort funded by National Geographic and the Galapagos Conservatory and others. And a population census shows their inhabitant, mostly juveniles, have been on the rise. These penguins are making a huge comeback.
That's awesome.
And again, you can find that complete article on thegoodnewsnetwork.org. And we got to go local, right? That's what we do. We are a local radio station, support local. We go to WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, for this next one, and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources conservation biologist Ryan Brady, who shared with us some interesting information about the snowy owl's bright white feathers and their future. They are back. The headline of this article, guess who's back? Despite a slow start to the season, snowy owls dazzling Wisconsin bird watchers.
Awesome.
Snowy owls, also known by their scientific name, Bubo scandinavicus, began their new yearly journey south from the far northern tundra, where they nest in big open areas in cold weather. In the fall, the young owls begin to go out on their own, looking for a wintry territory that somewhat mimics the conditions of the Arctic. I don't know how we should feel about that here in Wisconsin, that these snow owls...
Well, I mean, there are moments. Mm-hmm. Some of us feel it more than others.
Mm-hmm. It might be the airports or other grasslands in fields, says Brady, or it might be a shoreline that has a waterfall. This year, the first snowy owls that migrated to Wisconsin were spotted in October. So far this fall, they have been seen in Superior, Ashland, and Marathon County. The start to snowy owl season has been slow this season, says Brady. In some years, dozens would have been seen by now. Each year bring dozens to hundreds of snowies to Wisconsin. Snowies is what they call them. That's good.
That's cute.
Although the numbers vary year to year with natural population changes. You get these big fluctuations from year to year in the number of snowy owls that are on the landscape, not just in Wisconsin, but the entire country. This year, they're hoping to see a good number. They're looking at a little bit better than average number of these guys, so we may be able to see some.
Awesome. That would be cool to see in the wild.
We were just talking about owls yesterday and everything, and I've never seen a snowy owl, but I just looking at the pictures of them and everything, I thought owls are pretty magnificent. These are just incredibly impressive animals.
And the cool thing is they're active during the day, so you can see snowy owls easier.
Yeah, yeah.
During the daytime.
That's a great point, yeah. One more article I did want to touch on. Conservationists aim to protect songbirds in Wisconsin as its population sees a steep decline. This is just another one of those articles. Again, you can find it at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's incredibly interesting and important, and it's a great way of researching and bringing awareness to these animals, because in the last 10 to 15 years, they've seen their numbers kind of declining in the northern central part of the state, and there's been a real effort to keep these animals healthy and around, and so that many generations can enjoy them, and also important, a part of the food chain. All these animals are, but certainly songbirds, one of those animals, take care of insects, help many of our plants, grow and all these things. Many
and
things.
Help with, pollination and all of that.
Pollination is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes. You're welcome.
All those big words I was just saying, and I couldn't think of the word
pollination. There it is.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. It's all right. I'll fix this all in post. None of this is live.
Exactly. Nope.
I'm not going to be. I'm not going to let the audience hear me talking ridiculous. Oh, thank God for editing. All right. So we'll just take it back right here, Mel. Okay. And one and two and that's that for that.
And we're back.
We're back.
All
so
right.
We'll take a quick. Imagine if I did that to Seth. We'll have a 3-second delay so that Seth can do some like quick editing on the fly every 5 seconds when I mess up a word. We'll take a quick commercial break. Come back. We're on National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Here's a special announcement from my hero, Doorman.
Thank you. DoorWorks has made it to the 21st century. We now offer Wi-Fi door openers.
Ooh.
Yep, the future is now at DoorWorks. Now, with a smartphone, you may open or close your garage door from anywhere in the world. You're on the beach. Your wife says, "Did you close the door?" Now, just roll over, push a button, it's all good. Kids keep losing remotes? No more. Just use the app. To get your miracle opener, just contact DoorWorks. 715-424-5777.
Do you struggle with weight loss? We have an answer that is simple, safe, and can be very effective. Our program is called Transformation because that's what happens. Even if it's been years and you've tried other methods that didn't work, transformations may be your answer. What makes us unique for healthy weight loss is that transformation is based on your individual genetics and DNA. No one else does that, and that's why other methods fail. For healthy weight loss with doctor supervision, call Dr. James Bowman at 715-341-4949 for an appointment.
WFHR Weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies today with isolated rain showers likely. Highs level off around 40. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Mixed precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 21. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, 7:24 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. It is time to dive into our national day of calendar for this November 29th, and it's National Lemon Cream Pie Day.
Ooh, lemon cream pie is good.
I haven't had it since I was a kid, but I didn't mind it. I'm not huge on lemon, but lemon, that's not too bad.
Well, because it's got the tart and then the meringue on top, which is, you know, fluffy and sweet. So it's a good pairing.
Good stuff, yeah. Electronic Greetings Day.
Ah.
You remember all of those sometimes cute, sometimes funny, and sometimes downright obnoxious electronic greeting cards that used to appear in the, you know, your email inbox? Well, if you hadn't guessed it, there's actually a day devoted to electronic greetings. Fittingly, the day is known as Electronic Greeting Day.
Oh, gee, I don't know if you could get any more concise.
Yeah, I don't even think, I feel like I just wasted everybody's time there. I just, yeah, we kind of get it. I was expecting there to be a little bit more to that, though. All right. We keep on moving here, and let's see. What else do we have going on for today? It is also National Throw... Did I lose Melissa? I lost my co-host. Are you there, Melissa?
I am here now.
There you are.
You lost me for a second.
Yeah.
Because I was adding more important details on Electronic Greetings Day, but you weren't
nice.
Listening. So.
I didn't hear a word of it.
No, I realized that after you kept talking.
Yeah.
You weren't just being rude and talking over me.
Right. I tend to do that maybe once or twice a week. I don't want to look at those numbers. I don't. Did you want to repeat anything?
I was just saying it's a good day to just send somebody a text that you don't normally reach out to.
Oh, see, I'm glad you said that. I didn't think of it that as an electronic greeting, but you're absolutely right.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I definitely wanted your take on this one. It is also Throw Out Your Leftovers Day.
Yeah. So I only actually have one leftover. I'm surprised. I have just a few sweet potatoes in my fridge yet.
I know that we all like to make use of leftovers, and there's nothing like Thanksgiving leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are fidgety about that stuff, and they will still eat Thanksgiving leftovers. You know?
Yeah.
But you don't want anything in there for too long.
No. They recommend 3 to 4 days is about the length, so today's day 5.
You don't want your food to come back to life. You don't want it to have a heartbeat. You don't need zombie turkey. You don't
not
need that.
So much.
Doesn't sound good.
No, we had a smorgasbord of leftovers last night for dinner, which I paired with a whole roasted cauliflower.
Mm.
Have you ever roasted an entire cauliflower?
No.
It's a really cool presentation
it seems
at
like
the table.
It,
you know, just this roasted ball of cauliflower that's coated in butter and herbs and... It's so good.
No, it does sound really good. It sounds very good, yeah. Let's see here. It is also National, we're going to get more into this, but it's National Day of Giving. National Day of Giving takes place on Tuesday directly after American Thanksgiving, which in turn takes place on the fourth Thursday of November. National Day of Giving was created to help the giving season get started, reminding people that there is more to holidays than consumerism and commercialization. We'll get more into this in a little bit, but this is certainly a great day. We have so many incredible nonprofits in our area, one of those days to give to them. Now, I think that most people think of Giving Tuesday as dollars and cents, and that's certainly greatly appreciated and certainly needed. We have many of our friends out there that are in campaign season and can go very far to where they where they're going to fund things, how much money we can put into this, how much money we can put into that. So that goes farther than we could ever word. But I would also say that there are plenty of people out there that want to give that don't have anything left. Maybe they got some free time. Maybe they can help out volunteering. All of our nonprofits have great opportunities when it comes to that. And there's certainly things like we're going to talk to the ADRC in a little bit. Mm-hmm. In a couple hours. There is Meals on Wheels, which is one of the greatest volunteer opportunities that exists, period. Yeah. End of sentence. It's not a big time commitment, and what you get out of it is just as much as these people receiving these meals.
Mm-hmm. You could also donate blood.
That's another great way.
Or you could donate things you don't need to a charity or a Goodwill or a school, you know, pajama drive, or there's lots of things you can do. It doesn't always have to be money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also National Square Dancing Day.
Woohoo! Have you ever square danced?
Yes, because I went to public school.
I don't know if they do that anymore.
I was just thinking of this the other day. I just did not the other day. It was about 3 weeks ago, but I did a sketch at Second City. Me and another teacher did where we were talking about this. We were talking about so the sketch was that the end of the world is happening, and the only thing that will save it is if we could square dance together, like thank God they taught us. This is why they taught us square dancing. Like, we couldn't figure out why they taught us square dancing in grade school or whatever, junior mm-hmm. high or whatever that was. It was always a part of gym class.
Oh, yeah. It's a physical activity.
Yeah, yeah. But it was also a way to keep us busy. It was like, okay, how do we fill out the year here? We'll make them dance.
But dance has an important place in history.
Absolutely.
And the development of humans, really.
I love dancing, all forms of dancing, square dancing, break dancing, the mamba. I don't care what it is. I love doing it. But don't tell me it isn't a reach that what they were doing, having included in gym class. I mean, I get you. I hear you completely, and I see the point of it, et cetera, et cetera. Let's not get it twisted here, though. I mean, it wasn't exactly like a part of, wasn't as integral to our, you know, growth. Nobody didn't graduate high school because you did horrible in like square dancing.
Well, no, it's not like you can fail, but it does include other activities into a gym class that aren't just sports related, you know?
True.
I mean, now, and here I am defending this, where this is the only section of gym class in high school where I got injured.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because my dance partner stepped on my ankle.
Oh.
Like, literally, the whole ankle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll admit,
you and me fishing in the dark, Justin Whitmer. You know what? And he's the only guy that I whose name I really remember from high school. But I still would be an advocate for it.
Mel's doing the show. I can't talk. I'm just you remember that you remember the name.
Yep, sure do.
I will say that when I first learned, because I like learning new dances and I like dancing in general, I've got clown shoes for feet. So mm-hmm. I am definitely going to, I have stepped on some toes. I will admit that. But I've never stepped out of the ankle. That's rough. That's a rough one. No. So, you know, square dancing is fun. It's exciting. I want to see what the history of this one is, though. Trying to see if we can find, like, when it started. So square dancing has its roots in traditional English, Irish, and Scottish folk dance. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Square dances were first documented in the 17th century England. They came to North America right along with European settlers, where they were modified and improved over the years. The Western American square dance is perhaps the most famous type of square dance worldwide. In fact, the square dance is the official dance of 19 American states.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
It was all over Europe, too.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I'll be completely honest, would not have guessed that at all. Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool. That is pretty interesting.
The neat thing about square dancing is you have somebody that does the calling, so they call out what steps you use so that everybody can do it, you know, without having the dance memorized.
Yeah.
Like to be able to do the samba or a waltz mm-hmm. or a salsa, you need to know all the different moves, and somebody leads and somebody follows. Well, with a square dance, you don't dance like that. You dance in a square.
You ever tangoed, Mel?
I would, like, not officially, but yes.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Gotta love to do that dance.
My brother and I used to do that in the living room to make our mom laugh.
Nice. Awesome. That's it. Yeah, nothing like making mom laugh. The things that we do. yeah, that could be a whole other segment right there. Uh-huh. I think we can go back and forth on that one. Mm-hmm. And finally, it's National Chocolates Day.
Oh, good day.
Chocolate is one of the greatest pleasures that life has to offer, providing hope in the darkness of what might be an otherwise drab culinary experience.
And who doesn't like chocolate?
Yeah.
I have a funny story to share quick. Mm. So my boyfriend got a text that his 4-year-old nephew has found a new way to sneak chocolate. So the other day he got up at 4 a.m., found 2 chocolate Christmas trees, ate them while watching cartoons, and threw away the evidence and washed his hands. Kid's 4.
Yeah, this is my kind of kid. I love this kid.
So Aaron had to ask, you know, how did he get caught?
Yeah.
It's like, well, he threw the wrappers in the bathroom garbage.
Oh,
so mom
dang.
Saw them. And when he was questioned, he confessed.
Almost the perfect crime. Almost.
Yep,
the fact almost. That he washed his hands, that's...
Yep.
It's too good. I'm going to be laughing about that. And Jamie stepping on your ankle. I'm gonna be
Justin. You're close.
We will go to Melissa's news. We'll come back. We'll get into the top questions we're Googling about Giving Tuesday. That's coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media News Desk, here's a look at your local news. I'm Melissa Kay. U.S. District Judge William Conley has ordered Canadian Energy Firm, Enbridge Inc., and the Bad River Tribe to submit a joint proposal by December 17th to shut down and purge oil in Gas Line 5 that runs through tribal lands to avoid a catastrophic rupture. The risk of a significant rupture would affect the Bad River watershed and Lake Superior. According to WPR, Line 5 is nearly 70 years old and carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids 645 miles from Superior and up into Ontario every day. The section that tribal officials say poses an unreasonable risk to health and safety is located at the Meander. Bank erosion on the river is threatening to expose the line, which would cause rupture and the possibility of 20,000 gallons of crude and natural gas liquid spilling into Bad River. The closest shutoff valves are 14 miles apart in that section. Enbridge has proposed paying the Bad River Tribe an amount between $4,300 and $562,000 every year until they complete the 41 miles of pipe to go around tribal land. Tribal leaders are asking the court to reject this proposal as it would only incentivize the company to continue to trespass and the new line would never be completed. If no agreement can be reached by December 24th, Judge Conley has ordered each party to submit their own proposal by that time. The bill to codify same-sex and interracial marriage protections will soon be voted on in Congress. Senator Tammy Baldwin is a strong advocate for the bill, which is expected to pass both the Senate and the House this week with support from both parties. Conversations have become personal over the topic, as most senators have family members, friends, or staff who would be protected if this legislation were passed. Democrat and Republican senators recently added an amendment to the bill to address certain concerns from some leaders about ensuring religious protections. Senator Ron Johnson has said he will vote no on the bill and doesn't feel it is necessary to codify same-sex marriage protections. Democrats feel differently after Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, with Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion that the court should reconsider its previous due process precedents. Workplace absences due to childcare issues are at an all-time high. This year's respiratory illness season started early, and kids are coming home from daycare and school with everything from RSV, with or without pneumonia, to colds, rashes, and even strep. Caregivers and families are struggling to find care or needing to stay home with their sick kids or try to work from home while caring for them. The recent pandemic has affected the way people think about illness, and people are more likely to stay home or keep their kids home when they are sick. This has caused a change in how employers think about illness and navigate employee absences due to this. While some employees are enjoying more paid sick leave, workers in low-wage jobs have less workplace benefits, and childcare woes are adding a massive strain to their already difficult situation. This is the peak time of year for car deer crashes, and while the cost to repair a vehicle is high, supply chain issues are inducing more drivers to fix rather than buy new. Statistics for the last 2 years show around 16,000 deer collisions happen on Wisconsin roads each year. Vehicle repair shops say they are just as busy this year, with some already booked out until March. Deer are most active at dawn and dusk, with most crashes happening in November between 5 and 6 p.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker, man.
844.
You've already met him.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you. Or go to WisCovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Isolated rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 40, winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tonight, lows level off around 21, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. On a bright hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Oh, I like that. That's a good choice. That's a good choice. Nicely done, Seth. Mm-hmm. Melissa.
Well, and an opportunity to reach out to our fellow Americans in Hawaii and say, I hope you're having a good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night there, but still.
It is middle of the night there. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you would know. really, I can't take my my eyes off of the news over there, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not every day a volcano's going off on our planet.
No.
And these are the kind of things that literally, like, I think one of the greatest ways to show how connected we all are and how much we need each other and how, you know, detrimental divisiveness can be is the weather.
Yes.
You know, we have horrible, you know, fires going on in California. They affect us here, our skies here. A volcano goes off over there. We're going to see the remnants of it over here in our skies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need another reminder that we're all connected and we need each other to get through this life, man, the weather is going to show you every time. Mother Nature is undefeated. There is nothing that competes with her.
Nope. And we got to take care of our planet. But fortunately, last report I saw, people are safe. There's, you know, voluntary evacuations, but all schools are open. So they're doing all right.
Thankfully, hear that. Yeah. So today is Giving Tuesday. We were just discussing that in our last segment and want to dive right into what are the top questions we are Googling about Giving Tuesday.
Okay.
A recent poll for it found 93% of us think of ourselves as generous. So let's get out there and prove it.
Yes.
According to Google, here are the top questions we are Googling. When is Giving Tuesday? That is the first one that we're Googling.
It's a good thing to Google. It's
probably good to know when it is.
That seems like a good place to start.
Logical question.
Always the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. It sort of piggybacks on top of Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is Giving Tuesday? Well, instead of buying stuff for yourself, it's about being generous and donating. The first Giving Tuesday was back in 2012. So today marks the 10th anniversary.
You know, this almost seems a little backwards, though. This should have come before Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
think in a very, you know, I mean, of course it should. And I think that a lot of us can agree with that and hear you on that, Mel. What I think we've done is adapt. We've kind of seen this. We've seen that we've over kind of emphasized consumerism, and that's why you hear so many people since we were kids. So over 40 years, that they've been talking about, hey, you know, Christmas isn't just about giving gifts, and it's not just a material holiday. That's because they kind of overdid it way before you and I got here, and now kind of correcting it. And same thing with you know, trying to make sure, hey, the day after Thanksgiving seems like a great day to get people out there and to buy stuff. And that's important. Right. That's an important part of our economy. Mm-hmm. It gets the black eye, but it really is. We need that. So,
and it's the prep for Christmas.
Yeah. So that makes sense. But then, you know, we start to realize, oh, wait a minute, we're forgetting about mom and pop businesses. So we should have something for that. So let's have Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday.
You know, and then we realize, oh, wait a minute, what about our nonprofits? We're not helping them and everything. It's like, it all makes sense. But I could not. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I think that that's a good point to make while we're talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
I do think that I shouldn't say I think. I know of some people like my mom and dad that they let us know every year, hey, we're saving our money for Giving Tuesday. So that's what they do. Now, it is a little bit easier for them. All their kids are in their 30s at the very youngest. So a little easier for them to do that. But, it's something that even as a kid, my parents were very honest about and very, hey, you know, my mom really cared about Amnesty International, the United Way, causes like that. So maybe we didn't have as many, you know, things that we got, like my brother and sister, but they knew those things.
Right.
There's ways to incorporate this to where kids even feel like they're giving, because my mom made it very clear to us, you guys are a part of this too. You guys are donating this too.
It's coming from the family.
Right. How to set up Giving Tuesday on Facebook. Wait a minute. I wanted to finish the stats on this Giving Tuesday. So again, this marks the 10th anniversary. More than 85 countries are involved now. America alone gave about $2.7 billion last year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an important stat. That should be out there. How to set up Giving Tuesday on Facebook. That's one way people donate. Just go to facebook.com/fundraisers and it walks you through it. You can choose a charity to give to or to start a fundraiser to get your friends to donate. Is that what a lot of people do for their birthdays? I see a lot of people do that.
I see that sometimes on birthdays, yeah.
I've seen those, but I have not... If I see like somebody is raising money for homelessness, and I see that, I end up donating on their birthday to a cause that's outside of Facebook, essentially.
Yeah, I'm pretty leery about clicking on any links in Facebook in general.
Yeah.
To be honest, ones that are asking for money, even more so.
Anything I open off of social media, I do it in the incognito on my Chrome.
Hmm.
And not to say that that's the complete safeguard that it's supposed to be and everything, but
another layer of protection.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't trust social media. I use it. I also don't begrudge it and everything. It's a good starting point.
No, it's a useful tool.
I've mentioned this before about Twitter. I don't like Twitter, but it is what it is. It's if there is breaking news, it usually happens on Twitter. So if you're in the industry we're in, you're almost foolish not to be looking at it. Now, I don't use it as verbatim, especially right now with everything Elon's done with that site and that company and everything. But if I see something, then okay, that's my tipping point. That's my starting point. And then I take that and I go ahead and I do my homework, I research. Is this true? Is this factual? But I would say 7 out of 10 times, the information, whether it's correct or not, the story is correct. The breaking news tends to be correct.
Right. And I mean, the fact that everybody can access it, at least in this country, as a way to get news out. Look at what's happening in China right now. They're trying to stop people from accessing it because they don't want the rest of the world knowing what's going on over there.
Yep.
But because people have Twitter and Instagram, they're able to get the word out of what is going on in some of these places. Iran, the same thing.
So much of the Middle East, unfortunately, like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. finally, is Facebook matching Giving Tuesday? Yes, but they changed it up this year. It might already be over. They usually match the first few million bucks people donate and always hit the number within seconds. This year, they're doing it with recurring donations, so people who sign up to donate monthly could have it matched after their second monthly payment. The hope is it'll help charities keep bringing in money even after the holidays. Hmm. Facebook capped the total amount they'll be given, $7 million, so that's the most. They're matching up to $100 per donation and up to $100,000 per nonprofit.
Well, good. That's good on them for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's,
$7 million is a drop in the bucket for them.
Right.
But.
Right. But that doesn't, that doesn't take away from the fact that they're doing. I think we can do two things on these, where we can look at something and say, hey, they could definitely be doing more. And hey, look at the damage that they have caused. They owe it, you might say, if anything. Mm-hmm. If anything, in a organic sense, they do. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from the fact of what they're doing.
That they are doing it.
Yeah. So. We're still talking millions here. It's right. A little different where, Jeff Bezos is giving like 10 grand to something or whatever. Like, right. I mean, come on, man. If you're not hitting the millions as a billionaire, then what are you doing? I say this all the time. I don't like talking about other people's money. That's their business and everything. They do what they do with it. But you can't be coming out and talking about how charitable you are. And, everybody in the world knows you're the richest guy in the world. And you're giving away like 20 grand. Like, that doesn't add up, man. I'm sorry. That's like me giving away $5. That's not
like me finding a quarter in the couch.
Yeah.
And donating it to something.
Doesn't take away from the fact that they're still giving, just, accountability. Come on.
Right.
We will take a quick commercial break, come back, and get into some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Isolated rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 40, winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tonight, lows level off around 21, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you at 7:53 on the clock. And Melissa, as we are in our final days of November, and I don't know what happened to November, it just flew right by. I thought it might be fun to kind of do something going forward where we kind of went over the past month. We get so kind of like looking ahead, especially in this industry. You know, everything in radio is timing, and that doesn't just mean the day of, but setting things up for months in advance, sometimes weeks in advance, all that. So we get really caught up in tomorrow. We don't look back very often, and we have such an exciting, fun, unique job. Mm-hmm. And we have so many cool people join us throughout the month. I thought it'd be fun to kind of touch on it. First off, want to certainly send a shout out to all of our co-hosts, everybody that puts up with me on the air. Thank you so very much. Melissa, first and foremost, and Seth, of course. But Terry Johns, Beth Habhager, you know, Katrina Hintner is going to join us tomorrow. They're great people that join us monthly, and I really greatly appreciate them doing this. So many of them, while Seth and Melissa, of course, are on the clock, you know, we have people that come in here and they give their time. And yeah. I try to even that out by talking about their nonprofit or their business or what have you. That still doesn't, I don't know if it evens out. And I hope it does. And I hope it does for them because we greatly appreciate them joining us. Melissa and I got to kick off the month talking to Santa.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
He's a jolly old soul.
He's a great guy. In fact, I still have the little something right
I
up here.
I do, too.
It's so great.
I should put it on my desk. It's still in my jacket pocket, but I felt it the other day when I put my jacket on, and it made me smile.
Yeah. We do want to thank who organized this for us to talk to Santa, and that is the great Ronald Berry. And Ron is a great guy. Ron may still join us sometime in December to read some letters from Santa, or letters
cool.
to Santa.
Nice.
I've been talking to Ron about this, and he's our hookup with Santa here, so we'll see. But I did want to mention, though, Ron and his team set up a great GoFundMe page. And they have a fundraiser going on right now, the Santa Cause. It's a supportive weekly video series for children, parents, and the community dealing with contemporary family issues and values. The Santa Claus is a We Us production in connection with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Nice.
They have this great GoFundMe page. You just go to GoFundMe.com, and you'll be able to find it. Just type in the Santa Cause, that's C-A-U-S-E, and help them do what they're doing there. And it'll help your community at the same time.
Awesome.
It's a really cool thing that they're doing. So that was week one. And then a little bit later, we had
That letterbox is probably still up, right? For kids to put their letters to Santa
in? I believe so, yes. From what I'm seeing, I believe it is, yes.
Awesome.
That first week, we also got to talk to the Central Chamber Chorale. That was a lot of fun. Mm. Really enjoyed talking with them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had the election. That was a big time around
that
here.
That was this month.
Yeah,
wow.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, it seems like November went really fast, but when you say that, that was forever ago, James.
It does, right? It seems like it was at the very least, a month ago. At the very least.
And it wasn't even that.
A gigantic shout out to our civic media team, specifically our news team that worked literally into the end of the night to bring you that coverage. You know, locally here, we want to send, of course, a big shout out to our head of news and the best in the business in Melissa Kay. Everybody did a great job in civic media. Nobody sounded like you, Mel. And that's not a shot at anybody.
James.
That's me just wanting to give credit to somebody that I think deserves it. Melissa comes from a news background, and I think that part of the reason I wanted you in this team is because of your background, and it paid dividends earlier this month during the election coverage. It showed, and you did an incredible job. I feel like you should be nominated for a WBA award. I think all of civic media should be, and anything short of that is not respectful. You did a great job. I'm very proud of you, Mo.
Thank you. I got to give a huge shout out to, of course, obviously the whole team, but also to Joanne from our Rapids location, because she was up until like 2 a.m. that night.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, too. Yeah. She deserves a shout out as well.
Yeah. She kept going. She was a real trooper.
We got to talk to Lori from Fantasy Custom Shop. That was a lot of fun. and Carol from Your Living Essential Oils. That was really that was a wonderful time. On the 16th, we had the United Way Radiothon. That was successful and a lot of fun. We really enjoyed doing that and look forward to doing it again next year. And then last week we had the Evangelical Church joining us. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we really enjoyed that.
That was good information. And what a great cause that they're working toward with Mary's Place.
Really important and deep conversation, but really fun too. Really enjoyed that. Yeah. And just have had a great time all month long with all these great guests. And, of course, December going to bring even more wonderful guests and great people. One of those great people that we're looking to have on the air with us at some point, even though she doesn't have to technically do it anymore, I still want to make Heather put up with me on the air. The Nacoosa Christmas is this weekend. Our great friend Heather Sayers is hosting the Christmas Craft Show at the Nacoosa Community Center on Saturday, December 3rd, this Saturday from 9 to 3. We encourage you to check that out. They're going to have Santa visits as well down there.
Ooh, so probably a chance for pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Be sure to check that out, everybody. That is
a great time to shop local. Keep your dollars here and right in our county, more than likely.
You're so right about that. And you're supporting local people, local craft makers, that kind of thing. And
excellent time to get Christmas shopping done. Those unique gifts that you're not going to find anywhere else.
It's a great, yeah, and I don't know about you, Mel, but for people like me, my mom, that's all she'll take.
But she doesn't want another coffee mug with your face on it that says, "I love you, Mom."
Nope, no more Coca-Cola stuff. The birds thing, she's had enough of that. So you got to find those original things. Nope. Got to find those original items. You can find them at the Nacoosa Craft Fair. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce has Santa visits at Riverside Park in Nacoosa from 5 to 7, starting Sunday, December 4th. Books from Santa, sponsored by the Nacoosa Library. And then Thursday, December 8th, Pictures in the Park, sponsored by Badger Marine, and plenty of more great events. Be sure